All right. Well, I am joined up here tonight by my good friend Megan. Everybody say hi to Megan.
I love you, Megan.
No. I said everybody say hi to Megan. There we go. That sounds a little better. Okay. Now, up here on the stage, I also have a shoelace. Would you like to hold the shoelace, please? Thank you. I'm not going to tie you up. Don't worry. And a $5 bill. No, you do not get to keep that. I'm sorry. Okay, so I have a $5 bill fit in my wallet, a shoelace that would fit in my shoe, and Megan. What do all these things have in common? They're small, okay? Now, no, hey, that's not a diss. She's small, right? Megan, are you small? She's small. Okay. That's okay. It's great. That's why I have her up here. I didn't choose me because I'm not small. I chose her because she is, right? You're not small and neither is your hair. Okay. So here's the thing. I'm joined up here on the stage by some small things. Now, I want to talk about small things because sometimes, unfortunately, and Megan, I'm sure you have to deal with this sometimes, small things can get overlooked sometimes, you know? Now, I would never want to do that to Megan, but I easily do that because she pretty much only comes up to like my rib cage, you know? And so it's easy for me to be like, hey, has anybody seen Megan around here? You know, I was looking for her and I just, hey, how's it going? You know, she's like as big as my leg. So it's easy for me to overlook her, right? Hey, I'm not dissing you. It's just reality, and I think it's great. Here's another thing. This is a shoelace that many of us have, unless you're wearing flip-flops or Vans or something. But shoelaces, this one's kind of long, but it's pretty small. You can wad it up real small, stick it in your pocket, tie it around your waist, whatever you want, right? Put it in your hair. But the thing with the shoelace is that it's also kind of small. And it's easily overlooked because you never think about this thing until it breaks, right? And then you start thinking about how you wish you had a shoelace that wasn't broken anymore, right? How about a $5 bill? Can I have that? Thank you. You can hold on to that. Thank you. $5 bill. Now, this is kind of small. Of course, it fits in our wallets. You can wad it up. You can fold it in your pocket. But speaking of small things, I wanted to point out a couple really, really small things about a $5 bill if you didn't know this. First of all, on the $5 bill, Megan, can you see right around the border of Lincoln's head, do you see that little tiny type down there? No, you don't see it. Okay, it's that small. It's called microprint, and you'll be able to see it better on the screen, but it says United States of America all the way around Lincoln's picture, okay? So now that you see it, look up there. Now that you see it, can you see it on here? Look like right over here in the light. Can you see it? You still can't see it? Look really hard. Squint your eyes. It's all the way around him. It's really, really small. Okay, you see it? Okay, now that's one really, really small. You almost have to have a magnifying glass to see it. And then also along the sides, on the left and the right, is another security feature. It says $5 along the left and the right-hand side. If you've never seen that, it's in these little designs on the left side and the right side of the bill. Now look in the light. Can you see in those little tiny designs where it says $5? Yeah, you can. Okay, you can see those. Good. So there's some pretty small things. Shoelace, $5 bill, Megan. Hey, give Megan a hand. You did. Good job. Good job, Megan. You can take a seat. Now, small things like this can easily get overlooked. In fact, I'm actually wearing an example of something that can easily get overlooked. Not my t-shirt, but something on my t-shirt. You know, this is a pretty cool t-shirt. This is the vertical t-shirt for their latest semester of their discipleship groups called Summit. And their whole thing was living out loud and having an answer for your faith, okay? Being able to tell people why you believe what you believe. So their theme verse was 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Well, something happened when they printed these t-shirts. And just a little tiny piece of the artwork got cut off. Just, you wouldn't normally even think about it. But it was the number 5, okay? It was supposed to say 1 Peter 3:15. Instead, it says 1 Peter 3:1. Now you're like, that's not that big of a deal, right? 1 Peter 3:15 talks about having an answer for your faith. Being able, like I said, to tell people what you believe, why you believe it, right? Well, 1 Peter 3:1, they only left off that one number, the number 5. 1 Peter 3:1, do you know what that verse is? Wives, submit to your husbands. And I find it kind of ironic that it has a big open mouth on the t-shirt, you know? So they went from this shirt like, hey, you know, you should be able to tell people about your faith to submit, woman, you know? I mean, that's what this shirt, kind of the message that it sends now. So do you see how that little tiny piece of artwork, just the 5, that's it. That little tiny thing sends a totally different message, doesn't it? And just like we could overlook a shoelace or Megan or those $5 bills or the things on the $5 bills or that number 5 on this t-shirt, just like all of those, tonight as we look in our Bibles, we're going to look at two guys that are often easily overlooked. And I also would say underappreciated, okay? Underappreciated, overlooked. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 10. We're going to look actually at two guys tonight. When we started this study off in our study through the 12 disciples, you guys may remember the first 2 weeks we talked about one guy named Simon Peter. And this guy was, I mean, he's constantly, you're always reading about Peter. Simon Peter. There's always something going on with Peter. And so, Matthew chapter 10. And so, you're always reading something about this guy. I had to take the life of Peter and split it up over 2 weeks. I couldn't even conquer it in one night. Well, tonight, we're going to look at two guys all in one night. Because these guys, like I mentioned, are often overlooked. There's not much said about these guys. We're going to look at one guy named James, who we're going to read here in just a moment. Matthew says his dad's name was Alphaeus, okay? So James, the son of Alphaeus, and I'm sure many of us are glad our dad's name is not Alphaeus, although we could call him Alf then, and that'd be kind of cool, right? And then there's also the second guy we're going to look at goes by 3 different names. We're going to call him Thaddeus tonight because that's mainly what he goes by, but he also went by Labius and Judas. Okay, now there's 2 Judases, I guess you could say, that were disciples of Jesus. One you guys know of for sure, Judas Iscariot, who we're going to teach on in 2 weeks, who denied Jesus, who betrayed him. This is not that Judas. Judas was a very popular name in the time of Jesus, and so it just so happened that Jesus had 2 guys named Judas following him. And this guy was one of them, but like I mentioned, he was known by 2 other names as well. Labius, and then tonight we're going to refer to him as Thaddeus. And bringing up that name Thaddeus has fond memories for me because Jen and I owned a fish named Thaddeus. And we bought it the week before we were getting married. And in fact, it even sat on the head table at our wedding reception. It sat there. And we fed it little chunks of our food, and then it died. So, while we were on our honeymoon, I think, it died. So, it just didn't turn out that well. So, I shed a couple tears thinking about Thaddeus today, and then I realized he was just a fish, and I quit crying. But let me just tell you this. Tonight, I think you guys are going to find that you have a lot in common, whether or not you'd like to admit it. A lot in common with these two guys that we're going to study, James and Thaddeus. There's some pretty interesting things that I think you guys are going to see about these guys. And some of us at certain points in our lives may feel a lot like how I wonder if these guys felt. Sometimes unnoticed, sometimes just kind of to themselves, unappreciated, friendless sometimes even. Maybe these guys were real quiet. It seems as though they were. But let me just tell you this. All of that is okay. Because God has a plan for you just the way you are. Just exactly the way you are. And if it's your personality to be just like these guys and be kind of quiet and withdrawn, then that's okay. God can use you just the way you are. Because here's what God wants. And here's the one word that I want you guys to catch tonight. God wants faithfulness. Can you guys say that with me? Ready? On the count of three. One, two, three. Faithfulness. Oh, that was weak. Ready? One, two, three. Faithfulness. Good. That's the one thing that God wants from your life. What is it? What's the one thing that God wants? Faithfulness. From every one of you, including myself, God wants us to be faithful. No matter what our personality is, no matter what we like to do, God wants us to be faithful. The rest doesn't matter. The rest God is going to provide for. If you'll be faithful to God, he'll give you everything you need. So let's look in Matthew chapter 10. We'll read the first four verses. And we're going to kind of skip all around tonight, but we'll start here in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles were these. First, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee. Now this is not the James we're learning about tonight. This is a different James that we've already learned about, the brother of John. And John, his brother. Verse 3, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, here's our two guys tonight. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Levius, whose surname was Thaddeus. Verse 4, Simon the Canaanite, who we'll learn about next week, and Judas Iscariot, 2 weeks, who also betrayed him. So this is the list of the 12 dudes who followed Jesus. Now, let's just take three things tonight about these two specific guys' lives that we can learn and we can take home with us. First of all, number one, these guys weren't famous. They were not famous. Some people stand out when they're in a group, like me when I went to Rio Rancho Mid-Height yesterday. I was at Ivana's school. I was hanging out with a few mid-schoolers. Me and Courtney went there for lunch. We brought some Dion's pizza. It was a lot of fun. But me and Courtney don't exactly fit in with middle schoolers, okay? Now, we feel at home. Don't get me wrong. We love being around middle schoolers. But me standing with a middle schooler looks, something looks different, you know? I stand out in a crowd, okay? That's just how it happens. We feel at home there, but we stand out. In fact, I was walking to the classroom. Courtney was holding the pizzas. We were walking through the classroom. The bell had just rang. And I was just walking, minding my own business. Couple guys walking down the hall. And this one guy went, "Whoa, holy tallness," he said. And I was like, "Hey, thanks. All right. I'm a freak." Anyways, keep walking, right? So I kept walking. And we got to the room, we eventually went out to the cafeteria, the pizza went really quick, we went outside, and we were hanging out with a bunch of people, and Courtney and I were just hanging out there in this group of middle schoolers, and of course, I stand up head and shoulders above everybody else, and I just glanced up, and I noticed, like, right here, coming at me, a police officer on the walkie-talkie, and I was like, "Oh, man." I didn't do anything wrong, but I knew she was coming for me, you know? So she's on the walkie-talkie, and then, so I saw her coming, and then I just started looking around. There's, seriously, I'm not exaggerating, like 4 or 5 different security guards starting to circle us. And I was all, awesome. There's gonna be a scene, right? I was like, I did not come for this. So eventually, they were real nice about it, but they approached, two guys came up to me and Courtney, "Excuse me, who are you guys with?" And I was all, "Yeah, we're youth pastors, we're at the church, Calvary." And they were like, "Oh, okay. All right, yeah, that's cool. I just had a check, you know?" I was all, "Okay." No, I didn't do that. I didn't do that. That would have been bad if I would have done that. But we stand out, right? Me and Courtney, although we feel at home in with a group of mid-schoolers, and we love it, and Courtney can even do the mid-schooler dance, you know, although we feel at home, we stand out in a crowd of these people like you, right? Some people not only stand out in a crowd because of their stature, how tall they are, but also even some because of their personality, right? I mean, think about, remember the first guy was talking about Peter. This guy stood out. Peter, James, John, just to mention three of probably the three most well-known disciples that followed Jesus around. These guys were kind of the forerunners of the 12 disciples, Peter, James, and John. James and John, you guys may remember, the other James, they got a nickname from Jesus. Do you remember what Jesus called them? Sons of Thunder, that's right. Because they freaked out because a city didn't want Jesus to come there. And so they said, hey, Jesus, those people don't want you. Do you want us to call down fire from heaven? And Jesus is like, no. And now you're called Sons of Thunder, just for that, right? And so he gave them that nickname. And then Peter, we read all about Peter. He walked on water. This guy stepped out of the boat in faith that this was Jesus walking on the water. And he did it. He walked toward Jesus. He also, when Jesus was being betrayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, you remember what Peter did? Pulled out a sword and chopped a guy's ear off. The guy's name was Malchus, and he chopped his ear off. Later on in Acts chapter 2 and 3, Peter was there to lead about 3,000 people to Christ because of the words that God had given him as he preached. So these guys were some of the ones who were very outspoken. We hear all about them. We read all about them. There's constantly action surrounding these guys. They're talking a lot. But there are other guys, some that we've learned about, two that we're looking at tonight, that work better behind the scenes. That we don't always know a lot about what's going on with these guys, just like our two guys tonight, James and Thaddeus. Let's take a look, first of all, at Thaddeus. If you guys want to jot some notes down about this guy, some pretty interesting things about both of these guys. Thaddeus only says one thing in the whole Bible. The whole Bible, you can read one sentence from Thaddeus. That's his whole contribution to the Bible. Jesus, in John chapter 14, has just told his disciples that he's leaving. He's going to prepare a place for them, he says. He says the Holy Spirit is going to come and he's going to comfort you. And then in John 14, verse 22, Thaddeus has his one line. And he says, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? That's it, right there. Good job, Thaddeus. You're spent. You're done. That's all you got. So his one line, he asks this one question to Jesus. Kind of reminds me, I don't know if you guys have ever talked to somebody that they're really excited because they got to be like an extra in a movie, you know? And they're like, dude, I was in a movie. You're like, no way, that's awesome. What were you doing? What'd you get to do? Did you get to like talk to one of the actors? No, it was awesome. I got to walk down the street in the movie, you know? I was walking. It was so cool. No, but I thought you were in the movie. Yeah, I was walking on the sidewalk. I think if you look really, you could like squint your eyes and see me. You're all, oh, cool, you know? Ooh, that's exciting, right? Well, Thaddeus had one line in the whole Bible. This guy, that's the only question, or the only words we ever hear come out of this guy's mouth. No one is really sure what Thaddeus did after Jesus left. Tradition says that he went on many missionary journeys. He founded a church in a place called Armenia. Tradition holds that he was killed by being shot through with arrows for his faith. But this is all tradition. The symbol, all these disciples have different symbols that relate to different parts of their lives. The symbol for Thaddeus is a ship, a picture of a ship, because of the fact that tradition holds he went on many missionary journeys. This guy was on a ship all the time, sailing to a different place to tell more people about Jesus. And so this was the idea of who Thaddeus was. Now you can learn a lot about him just from his names. Remember I told you he was known by three different names. Lebbeus, Thaddeus, and Judas. Lebbeus and Thaddeus can both hold the meaning beloved, warm-hearted, or full of heart. So you can get the idea that although this guy only had one line in the whole Bible, this guy was probably a pretty quiet guy, to himself maybe, a little withdrawn from the group, a little quiet, but he was loving and he was loyal to Jesus. Do you remember the one thing that God wants from each one of us? What is it? Faithfulness. Thaddeus had it. We're going to look at that here in just a few minutes. Let's look at James. There was Thaddeus. We don't know much about this guy. We know even less, believe it or not, about James. Matthew chapter 10, verse 3, we just read it, says that his dad's name is Alphaeus. Now, that's nice and all, but unfortunately, that doesn't give us much. That's all that we really know about this guy. Beyond his dad having this name, we don't really know much about this guy. We know that there was another guy that followed Jesus named James, who was the brother of John. Nobody knows where this James was from. Nobody knows much about his parents, who his brothers were. Tradition says that he went on a bunch of missionary journeys, but there's no specific places that we know that he went. No one, in fact, even knows how he died. There's a lot of different traditions about how he died, but they're all conflicting, different stories. We don't know where this guy came from, what he did, where he went, how he died. We don't even hear a word from this guy. He never says anything in the whole Bible. Isn't that crazy? Mark chapter 15, verse 40. Mark gives him a name that none of the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, give him. He calls him James the Less. And the Greek word for that word less gives us our English word micro. You guys know what micro is. It means really small, right? You look through a microscope to see something small. Or if it's microscopic, you can only see it under a microscope, right? And so this Greek word tied to James' name means very small. Now, that doesn't mean that this was like the midget disciple, okay? That doesn't mean he was only 3 feet tall or something like that. I guess maybe. We don't know anything like that. Maybe he was shorter than the others. I don't know. Less could simply mean younger. Or less could mean he had just less of an impact or a lower ranking than some of the other disciples. Or maybe specifically lower than the other guy named James. Who knows exactly why this guy had this name James? So we know very little about Thaddeus. He only said one thing in the whole Bible. We know even less about James. This guy never said a word. He's in all the lists of the disciples. We know that it's always referring to him, but we don't know anything that this guy said and really anything that this guy did or where he came from or how he died. I find that so interesting because these guys probably seemed very insignificant. I mean, they didn't really even do much worth writing about, it seems. Yet Jesus chose them. Jesus only chose 12 men to follow him. And these two guys happened to be two of the 12. There were only 10 others after these guys. There was a reason that Jesus chose these guys. There was a reason, and I don't exactly know what that reason was, but Jesus had them chosen for a reason. And Jesus chose you for a reason as well. Maybe you have a lot in common with these guys. Maybe nobody really knows you. Maybe you feel like you don't have a lot of friends. Hey, could you stop that over there? Thanks. That'd be great. Pay attention. Maybe you feel like you don't have a lot of friends. Maybe you're really quiet and to yourself, right? Maybe you're just kind of the person that while everybody else is together, you're just kind of on your own. But you love Jesus. Maybe you have all of that in common with these guys. Now, maybe not. Maybe you're more rowdy and middle school-ish, right? Maybe you are in with the crowd. Maybe you have a bunch of friends. But I bet somewhere deep inside, you can find yourself somewhere in these guys. There's some hesitancy. There's some quietness about us. All of that is okay. In fact, it's great Because God created you exactly the way you are with the personality that you have for a specific reason. You're like that because God created you that way. And so I don't want you to feel like we're looking down on these guys at all. I hope tonight we can look up to these guys. Because although we don't know a bunch about them, although they may not have said much, these guys had an impact that we're going to see here in just a minute. They weren't famous like we're talking about. But hopefully, all of us have this same next thing in common with them. Number two, they were faithful. They weren't famous, but they were faithful. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. It's about four books to the right, right after the book of John. Acts chapter 1. Now, some people just don't give up. I read a news article about a guy named Buster Martin. Buster. Speaking of cool names. Buster is a good example. He's 101 years old. Good old Buster. And he kind of has a scary beard. I'll be the first to admit it. But this guy, Buster, he ran a 13-mile half marathon last Sunday. Yeah, he was on the news. He's all over the news. 101 years old. And he's planning on next month in April running a full marathon, 26 miles. This guy has 17 children. Okay? Good old Buster Martin. In February of 2007, over a year ago, this guy was, I don't know if he was leaving his work, but he was walking toward a bus stop. 10:30 at night, three teenage guys jumped him. He beat them up. How awesome is that? Now they knocked him down, they scratched his face up, they bruised his ribs, but they went running because this guy kicked them so hard. So these teenage guys, three of them, he got them so good that they went running off. Now check this out. This guy, he gets knocked down, his ribs are bruised, face is scratched, he hobbles to a hospital, sleeps overnight in the hospital, wakes up and goes to work the next day. What in the world? And so thankfully, though, his boss was smart and told him to go home and take a day off. This guy refuses to ever retire. He works 3 days a week as a van cleaner. He cleans vans. Vans need to be cleaned, right? He cleans them. He refused even to take a day off for his 100th birthday. 100th birthday. I mean, come on. If you can take a day off with no excuse, seriously, if you turn 100 years old, don't work that day, guys, okay? But this guy showed up to work, 8 a.m. Hey, guys, I'm 100. I'm here to work, you know? And this guy showed up to work. In fact, in this news article I was reading, he was quoted as saying, "As long as I still wake up in the morning, I will continue to work." That's this guy. He's going to run marathons. He's going to just keep, you know, kicking teenagers' butts and just doing his thing, right? This guy's just going to keep going. He doesn't give up, this guy. And faithfulness, being faithful like this, is rare these days. It's so rare to hear about somebody who's faithful to what they do. And it's good to hear about somebody who doesn't give up, who doesn't quit. Now, like we were talking about, we have very little info about James and Thaddeus. We don't really know much about what they did or what they said. But I want you guys to see in Acts chapter 1 something pretty interesting. Verses 12 through 14 in Acts chapter 1. It says, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet. And this is right after Jesus has just ascended into heaven. They've stood there and watched them. This is the 11 disciples. It says they returned from this mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath's day journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, our first guy tonight, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James, also who we're learning about tonight. Remember, I told you his other name was Judas. Verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So here they all are together, praying. Jesus picked these guys. He handpicked them. This was not just some lottery draw, like, let's see, I've got a bunch of names in a hat. How about Thaddeus? You can be my follower. Come on down. It wasn't anything like that. Jesus walked around and said, you, follow me. You, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. You, follow me. You, come with me. And these guys came, handpicked by Jesus himself. These guys followed Jesus at all costs. They did not count the cost. They said, it doesn't matter what the cost is. I'm following Jesus. Think about it. It was not popular to follow Jesus. Eventually, Jesus was betrayed and arrested. And you remember what all the disciples did? They ran away. They were nowhere to be found because they feared for their lives. That's what it was like to follow Jesus. People made fun of you. They were outnumbered. The Pharisees, these holy guys of the time, were always telling these men that they were doing the wrong thing, that Jesus was an outlaw. He was a rebel. He was a lawbreaker. And these guys were following Jesus at all costs. It wasn't popular. And through Jesus' death and resurrection, sure, you couldn't find them when Jesus was arrested, but they were still there. Maybe they weren't as bold as they could have been, but they were still faithful. And they didn't give up. After Jesus ascended into heaven, we just read it here, they remained faithful. And what James and Thaddeus didn't say in words, their lives said in their faithfulness. Combined with two of these guys, we have one sentence in the whole Bible. Not much, just a few words. But their lives speak where the words are absent. Their lives were faithful. They lived faithfully following Jesus. Now, sure, maybe they weren't famous. Maybe they weren't well known. But they trusted Jesus. They were faithful to him. Let me ask you this. How faithful are you? I want you to think about that right now to yourself. How faithful are you? Maybe you say, you know, I don't have a lot of opportunities and all I really do is pray for people. You know, I don't feel like I'm that great at singing and, you know, I can't teach and, you know, I'm kind of just to myself. All I really can do is pray. What do you mean all you can do is pray? That's one of the best things you could ever do. And if all you ever do is pray for people, that's one of the best things you could ever do for them. Stay strong in that. Don't let it bum you out that you feel like that's all you can do. That's one of the best things you could do. Maybe you feel like you're just good at telling people that, you know, encouraging people. Keep that up. That's great. Keep going. Stay faithful. The world needs to see faithfulness in the life of Christians. I've talked to a lot of people. And sometimes they'll tell me, you know, I'll ask them, hey, so do you go to church anywhere? No, I don't really go to church. I remember this especially in high school. And you know what a lot of people would say when I asked them why they don't go to church? They say, oh, because Christians are all hypocrites. You guys ever heard somebody say that before? I'm not going to go to church. Christians are all hypocrites. You know why? Because so many Christians are ashamed to be faithful to Jesus. Sure, they'll be faithful when it's cool at Velocity, when it's no big deal to raise your hands or clap or sing with the music. But when it's a big deal out in your school or at your home, you're not going to be faithful then. Be faithful at church. That's not the attitude you should have. And unfortunately, it's that very attitude where you're living these two different lives. That, unfortunately, is what turns so many people away from church. They say, that person says that they're a Christian. Their life is no different than mine. They cuss with me at school. I got drunk with them the other day. We smoked together the other day. And now they go to church? Why would I want to go to church? There's nothing different about me than them. I hope that none of us in this room would live lives so hypocritical that it would turn people away from Jesus. We need lives of faithfulness. What's the one thing that God wants from us? Faithfulness from every one of us. And the great thing about not being famous but remaining faithful is our third point tonight. God gets the glory. God gets the glory. Turn again to the right in your Bibles, a few books, the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Just a few books, two books to the right, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. God gets the glory. That should be the goal of everything we do. In fact, later on in 1 Corinthians, a few chapters later, chapter 10, verse 31, it says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. You know what I love about that verse? It tells me that I can eat to the glory of God. That's fantastic. I love that I can do that, right? Because I don't know about you, but I love to eat, right? And I love that I can eat to the glory of God. Whatever you do, you can do and you should do to the glory of God. That should be our whole life's goal, is to glorify God. When something great happens, point to Jesus. Thank him for it. Jesus should get the credit. Now, God picks some pretty interesting guys, if we're real honest, some pretty interesting guys to be his followers. You know, the great thing about it, the great thing about God picking people who are not really ordinary to be his followers is that when something good happens, God gets all the glory. You can't even argue that it was them who did it. Now, normally, when you guys would, you're playing basketball or you're playing kickball or whatever, right? And you choose teams. Normally, you want to choose the best people. You want to choose the people who are the most athletic, the best sports players. They're the best at whatever that sport is. You want to choose them first. Well, God thinks the opposite way. He looks past how good we are at whatever we do, and he looks at our hearts, and he says, she's faithful. He's faithful. Yeah, sure, maybe on the outside, their friends and their family, maybe they don't even think that they're that talented. Oh, man, do I have plans in store for them. God looks past everything we do on the outside, and he looks at our hearts, and he says, I see faithfulness. I see faithfulness. I see obedience. That's what I want. I choose you. And these people who maybe thought God could never use them, God is using. These fishermen, these people, these outcasts of society, Jesus hand picks them. God doesn't work the ordinary way. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. Says, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. And here's the key, verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. The Bible right here gives us a list of five different things that God is looking for. The foolish things, the weak things, the base things, the things that are despised, and the things which are not. Now, if I were picking a team, I would not pick from any of those people. I mean, let's be honest. I don't want any of them. I want the really good guys. I want the really athletic type, right, if I'm picking a good team. But God says, no. You think I can't use you? Sure, come on my team. We'll see about that. And he chooses the foolish things. He chooses the weak things, the things that maybe the world casts aside, the people who the world says, no, we could never use them. They'll never be successful. God wants to use those people. That's who God's looking for, people who see their need for him. That's the key. Now, here's the other thing to remember. Here's the other side of that. If you think you're all that, it's going to be hard for God to use you, you know? You're like, well, I mean, Kevin was talking about we need to be really humble, and I'm like the most humble guy I know, you know? I mean, now, if you think you're the most humble guy you know, then you're not humble anymore, okay? You just ruined it. Because the minute you realize that you're humble, then you're not humble anymore. And so many people get this idea that God is lucky to have them. No. It's the other way around. We are blessed to have him. And we need to understand that God has a big plan for us. And here's what I love to think when I read about these guys, James and Thaddeus. We don't know much about them. We don't know much about what they said or what they did or where they went or how they died. But here's the kicker for me. Somewhere in heaven, there is a group of people that I want to meet someday. Because we never heard James say a word. We never heard him say anything. But I want to meet these people in heaven someday that say, man, I am so blessed to have known James, to have known Thaddeus. I am so blessed that Thaddeus told me about Jesus. Because somewhere in heaven, those people are there. We may never get to meet them, but they're there. And I believe there are more people in heaven because these two guys lived. These guys followed Jesus and they were faithful to the end. And what they didn't say in words, their lives said through their actions. We may never read about these people. We may never meet them. But these two men didn't let their lack of fame ruin their faithfulness. They stayed faithful to Jesus. Now think about it. Think about your Bible here real quick. Pick up your Bible. Take a look at it. You can thumb through the pages. There's some really interesting things in here. And the interesting thing about the Bible is that it has a bunch of people like who we read about tonight, James and Thaddeus, that we don't know a bunch about. You know, sometimes there's just chapters of lists of names. The whole book of Numbers is a bunch of names. And we don't know a lot about these people. Now, what if we took our Bible and we just started to, every time we got to a name where we didn't really think they were that significant, we just ripped it out of our Bible. You know, no big deal. I don't really know who that is. You'd have to rip out most of the book of Numbers. Can you imagine? Just rip that out. It's kind of boring, you know, to just tear it out. Page after page, name after name, chapter after chapter, ripping stuff out of your Bible. Now, what would be left? Your Bible would be destroyed, first of all. You'd have a bunch of names on the floor scattered around you, and you'd have to go pick them up and throw them in the trash and take the trash out, right? And that would be kind of a bummer. But we would not be who we are if it weren't for these people. If it weren't for the names in the book. And God has a plan for every one of you tonight. You need to understand that, how important that is. If we ripped them all out, the Bible would not be what it is today. We would not be who we are today. History is filled with people who, when we look at their lives, we think they're insignificant. We overlook how important these men and women are. But we don't know their whole story. And many people may never know your whole story. But what kind of impact are you going to have? What kind of impact are you leaving behind you? The way you're living your life, what kind of difference is it making? Don't be discouraged if you find yourself like James or Thaddeus and you feel like you're overlooked and underappreciated. Remember the song we sang earlier tonight, "Not to us, but to him be the glory." That should be the goal of our lives. And right now, we've got some time to close in worship. So Ray's going to come back up and close us in a few songs of worship. But here's the challenge for you. What's the one thing that God wants from us?
Faithfulness.
God wants us to be faithful. And if you guys can take nothing else home tonight, take that. On the back of your bulletin, there's a little box, what this means to me. And it says, if you feel overlooked or underappreciated, remember that loyalty and faithfulness is all that God looks for. He'll provide the rest. Every one of us, God is looking for us to be faithful. And if we'll stick close to Jesus, he'll stick close to us. The Bible says if we'll draw near to him, he'll draw near to us. So right now, we have some time to relax and to worship. And what I want to see from you guys is some genuine worship. not just worrying about what other people are going to think. This is not a time to talk to anybody else. And I am going to do this. I'm going to tell you guys that you guys, if you need to, can get up out of your seat and spread out. Now, here's the only rule with that. Getting up and spreading out is not to go hang out with your friends for social time. That's not what this is all about. And if that's what you want to do, take a seat. Don't talk till after service. You can do that afterwards. That's fine. Do that then. If you don't want to worship, I'm not going to force you to get out of your seat and do that. But if you need some time just with you and Jesus, get up, spread around the room, get on your knees, kneel down at your chair if you need to. This is your time to worship. Just open your heart to the Lord. And we're going to have leaders around the room that are available to pray with you, pray for you, point you in the right direction. Maybe tonight you need to just confess your sin. Get it out. Maybe you've been doing something that you know you shouldn't. Tonight's your chance to change. And maybe you haven't been faithful. And every time tonight when I've said the one thing God wants from us, you haven't wanted to say faithfulness because you know you haven't been faithful. Tonight's the night to change that. Maybe you've never made a decision to follow Jesus. The Bible says, Jesus himself says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. In other words, nobody gets to heaven without Jesus. Jesus came to die and to pay for your sins. And if you have not committed your life to Jesus so that you can know that you're going to heaven, tonight's your chance to do that. We'll have leaders available to do that. So right now is your chance to worship. And remember, God should get the glory. Let's pray, and then we'll close in a few songs of worship. God, you are so good to us, and we're excited right now that we get to close our night off. I can't think of a better way than closing it with worship, pointing all the glory to you, God, because you deserve it. And just as we learned about these men who not much was said about them, we know that they had an impact because they followed you and they were faithful to the end. Jesus, help us to be faithful, even when it's hard, especially when it's hard. Help us to stand up for what's right. And right now, Lord, let our hearts be open to hear from you and to worship you genuinely. In your name we pray. Amen.